Thank you for listening, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. Talk from the heart, the mind, and the soul. And I'm your host, Andrew Fetter. And thank you, everyone, for listening in. Of course, this is Andrew Fetter, and welcome to When Pigs Fly. And I want to thank, of course, BBS Radio for producing this. In fact, I didn't really... talking just recently, and it's been way over 5 years, and I started this back in February of 07. Time flies. And speaking of timing, which I'll be talking about, and patience, of course, everything's perfect timing. And that is going to be the subject, what I'm going to talk about. Before I do, I have a couple announcements. I'll lay out a couple shows. I hope everyone out there, especially in the United States, had an extraordinary Independence Day. I did do, please listen to that show. I did a special show, which I had it actually replayed it for that weekend again. It was, I think, on my June 29th show. I think it was very imperative because it dealt with what we are here in the United States and what independence really means and what it is. But it is not necessarily just for the United States. It also is regarding all people around the world and their true independence and the true situation. So please check it out. It's on the archive. And give me your thoughts. And you know how to hit me up on through emails, as you always do. Thank you again. Now, so I got a couple announcements for the upcoming shows. Next week, which is, of course, the 20th, and by the way, happy Friday the 13th. I am not wearing a hockey mask, don't worry. Next week, on the 20th, I am going to do a very special show, one that a lot of people keep on asking me about because of my latest book called Spirit, which deals with about going out of body. Which I will relate to, but I will go into depth of what it is. It's also called in Kabbalism, the Merkava, going out of body, astral projection. I will get very detailed in its orientation and what it means and what it really is, and the emphasis of it and why it is so important. Anyway, that is next week. And then on the 27th, I will once again do a very special show, being a vessel. I will relate information as what I envision, what I see and hear in these times of times. So based upon those, I will disclose what they are, and being that a vessel is just for all of humanity at large. And that's on the 27th. So... and then on August 3rd, I have scheduled a conference. It was originally tentatively, now it's confirmed. I have extraordinary Lisa Barretta. She is the author of, an amazing, her latest book called The Book of Transformation, which I think is highly relevant today as our Earth is increasing its frequency to being more positive than negative. And I believe this interview, you cannot miss it because it will be regarding you as you are and what we are and how we can increase it and adapt ourselves. And you just can't miss the show. I'm just telling you. You just can't. So mark this on your calendar, August 3rd. And I feel very honored to have her on my show. Now, most, when we talk about time and patience, but before I do about timing of patience and things in situations, I know the reason I'm bringing this up because I've had a lot of people, both in consultations and things I've seen in recently, and most people have come to, but we never really get into dealing with them. It's issues of time and patience and the desirabilities of certain things and blah, blah, blah. So, and willing and having it come through and the child within and all these dynamics, they're sort of interrelated in a large capacity. But before I do get into that's just the timing and patience issues. I want to get into what is obviously called desire. And I know when you think of desire, desire is put on the connotation of being something evil or bad. This I know is done through, I know in Christianity, or Orthodox Christianity, and a lot of forms, and even so, even I know it's in Buddha, and this is where I disagree, and I think Buddha himself sort of screwed up on this one. Because it's not dealing with the reality of the truisms. Well, now I'll get into it. He once said that what is evil? Killing is evil. Lying is evil. Slander is evil. Abuse is evil. Gossip is evil. Evil is envy is evil. Hatred is evil. To cling to false doctrine is evil. And all these things are evil. And what is the root of evil? Desire is the root of evil. Illusion is the root of evil. Now, the illusion I agree part, but the desire one I sort of disagree. Because it's sort of broad-stroking what desire is. Because, in a sense, desire is basically your willing, whatever you will, whatever you think. Every time you make a choice, even the will to believe not to do this is a desire. So it's sort of, like, absurd. And this is where I think I'm, like, really surprised it's absolutely wrong. I've seen this mentioned in Taoist talks and stuff like this, and I get sort of like it doesn't make any sense. Telling a person that, oh, you gotta remove the desires, but guess what? Isn't the desire to learn not to remove? See, the problem is desire, in real sense, is will. And if desire is a root of evil, then you're saying free will is evil. And this is where the question of control is, and this is where I disagree. This is when organized religion tries to implement the free will issue as being subliminally evil. And that's where they mix the thing of desire, which is neither evil or good. It's just what it is. What you desire can become the initiating of what you consider, if you subjectively again think of evil or good, because in reality there's evil and good is based upon perception in a lot of most circumstances, in all circumstances. Of course, desire has its ramifications of increasing or decreasing one's frequency, and that's sort of a given. If one desires to be better themselves, is that evil? No. I mean, perhaps was it Buddha who desired to become more enlightened? Didn't he desire to gain more wisdom? So you see, those words are sort of, in his own quote, is sort of, in reference, sort of absurd. Because if I would pull those out, then I would say being enlightened is evil. Or the desirability of being enlightened is evil because it has a desire. So because desire in reality is initiating of the choice. It's part of your choice. When you have a desire, it's choosing. When you desire something, that is what establishes the initiation of choice. Thus, we are the desire. Now, spiritually, in essence, desire has its implications of what we are as a personality. And I will get into that. Sorry, Buddha, this time I think, oopsie-daisy, desire is your choice. But the question now is, what is your choice? Out of our choices is what we create. We are always consistently creating at a nonstop level. I mean, even when you're not thinking of creating, you're creating. I mean, our very thoughts, our actions, they have energy that increases and decreases at frequency paces. So our thoughts create things. Background noise. Sorry. I had to close the door because outside I hear people talking and yelling here. The owners. It's funny when you have to, you do a show from your own place, you get background noise. So I apologize for that minor disruption. Anyway, out of our choices, create. So we are always creating with our thoughts as well as our actions. It's the willing, that's the desire, which is the will. When we're initiating a will, we have that will. That is the desire. Without desire or even a thought that one could possibly, not both, is both illogical and absurd. So look in point. If you didn't have a desire, even the thought that one could possibly have or not desire, or which is still saying one and the same, it is absolutely illogical. Because if you desire not to desire, then you had a desire. Get it? It's like, I choose not to choose. Well, didn't you just choose not to choose? See, it's absurd. It's ridiculous. And when somebody makes those comments, you have to think the underlining thing, the point of desire when they're doing that is raking, taking away your free will, the free will to think. This is why, and I believe that even in my voice or anybody's opinions, I don't care how spiritually or whatever they say on Buddha, walking from God or masters, even in myself, even to the people who think they are, I am cynical. I will question it. This is to create a presence of free will. If you just go with your head down and absorb all information and just go hunky-dory, then you're losing your free will, your way of free thought. So even as I'm saying these things to you, I implore you, I ask you to even question the things I say, because this is your free will. This is what establishes your uniqueness, all right? Which is not necessarily so much of your personality, it is for what you are as a soul. Now, and I'll get to that later. So, as you see, it's sort of absurd to say, hey, don't desire, or desire is evil, or the root of evil. Now, that I think that I hope that you understand, got the idea of understanding of what desire is. It gives you the understanding of the desire is part of the mechanism in which we do manifestations. We are constantly manifesting things at a constant level. Now, we do have governors upon ourselves when we manifest. I mean, if you were to say, oh, I wish you were dead, boom, that guy would be dead. There is a governor. There's like a, like, I don't want to say governor, like, for those who don't understand that, what that means, I'm like in a governor on like a car. I remember we had like the little mini bikes. They used to put a governor to control the power of the machine to cut down the power so we'd have not too much speed on it. Well, sort of in a way, the universe has provided us for our own protection, a sort of like governor. Now, everybody has a certain different governors upon themselves, and it's depending on your life experiences and depending upon what you are in this lifetime are supposed to do and not do, and also that creates the karma of what you do as well. So, like, if you have the ability to manifest in an extraordinary way beyond what that was another person would normally do, maybe it's because you're supposed to help others, or you're in a more positive, or help create a positive thing. It shouldn't just be out of ego, because when you do manifestation just over ego. Now, this is where, by the way, I think they were trying to employ desirabilities toward ego. That would more or less affect what it is, okay? What creates karma. And now, by the way, that's where I think the words, the root of the issue is not desire, but of ego, which I'm going to get into. And now going back to manifestation, which is initiations of all thoughts that are carried out into an energy form, which then produces a situation, whether it be abundance or whatever it is, people are called manifesting. Oh, I've manifest the very, you know, a job, or manifest possibly meeting somebody, or manifesting a situation in the future, or whatever. And this is always constantly happening. We're constantly manifesting, even on our bodies, our health, things, constantly. That's why what you think is so important. It literally does create your world. So what is the initiation of manifesting, and what are actually the principles of manifestation? Well, the principles are really quite simple, actually. And my late spiritual teacher and guide, God bless her soul, Janae St. Clair, had called it, and it was really simple to remember, and I constantly teach this to my students, is called WEB. And WEB is literally will, emotion, belief. You will it. When you will it is when you wish something, or you have the desire of something, and then you initiate it. It's the thought, the very instant you initiate that thought. It's the very implementation of the very thought. This is by your choice or your desire, which is your free will. So it is the initiation, the very thought coming out. It's like lighting the firecracker, setting off the rocket, if you can visualize it. That's sort of what it is. Now, that's the W of web, will. The E is emotion. What that is referring to is emotion. It's the fuel behind the energy, behind the thought. It is the passion of it. Think of it as when you're initiating a thought, you have to have passion that carries that rocket of that manifesting thought out there. And so that's the emotion behind it. So definitely you have to have passion behind it, energy behind it. It's like if you didn't, you would just push it, be short-lived. It would like drop it before it gets to its destination. It wouldn't have any energy. If you didn't have emotion, it's like, I'm going to drive my car. I really want to go from Los Angeles to Las Vegas, but I only have a quarter tank of gas, and then you get to Victorville and they don't have any gas. So you have to have the energy behind it, basically what it is. Now, the belief is what is most commonly where I think people have issues with, and that's the B part, obviously, of web. And what I'm saying with belief is having the faith with a TH, and focus upon it. So changing your belief changes the direction of the manifested thought. So one needs to constantly stay in focus, but also maintain the faith of it. So let's say you put out a situation that you wish to occur, and let's say, I'm just saying an example, and this does not mean what it is, because this is sort of like, it would be ego-based, so manifesting. But let's say you wanted a black BMW, and you go, oh man, that's what I want a black BMW. And then you look over to the right, and you see, wow, look at that cool-looking black Mercedes. I may want that. I think I want, so you're changing the direction, okay? You're changing the will, you change the belief. So now the universe is going, wait, did you want a BMW or not? So it's like sending out a guided missile, and all of a sudden you don't, it's losing its direction. The other one, which has also more comments, that's the one changing, maybe I want this, maybe I want that, can't decide, so the universe doesn't know either. You know, when people constantly change their mind and then they wonder why they don't get anywhere, that's why. Now, the other one is changing of not just of choice, but maintaining the faith of that belief is often more common. And so what happens is, and sometimes actually is one counters the other, you can almost say. So let's say I want to be successful at a job or whatever, or get that or whatever. And then you go, well, I don't know if I'm going to really be doing that really good. Well, guess what I did? Both, I actually don't have faith in the first one. So I messed up. I'm not keeping the belief. But now I'm also generating a new, because every thought, I just initiated a thought of possibly not getting it. Anxiety. Everything about your body, by the way, when people get depressed, is because of these thoughts. The change. That's why people say change the tapes. Change the tapes affects. You're not going to get depressed. People who, and this is where psychologists and psychiatry is totally, tell you straight up, is totally fucked up. They don't know what the hell they're doing, straight up. Especially when it comes to giving out pills for anxiety or depression. Because basically they're playing gamma games with your synapses and your neurons and all your nervous system. Which they have no clue why this is happening, or they're trying to think you're like a car part, and you're not a car part. And that's where they're, even today's science, let's say, of quantum physics, is so far ahead in understanding those, the energy systems of the brain and the body, that medical science, and particularly even psychology, has even gotten, or it's like 60 years behind. So that's a problem. And if you start taking these things, they will naturally, by messing your physiologically, it will also start messing up your ability to manifest the thoughts. You'll feel like blasé. So you'll constantly have those. That's what they're doing. They're making you so you. Your will and your sort of blah, and people feel like locked out. So you're now manifesting what? You're manifesting this blah. You're constantly manifesting. And so that's, and then people understand why that they've taken these antidepressants and all of a sudden they're committing suicide. Hello. Well, because the higher self is saying, hey, I don't want to be in this body no more. Get it? You've literally cut away its free will. So, because when you take away the person's thought that they think they don't have free will, then that's one of the issues or forms of depression. Anyway, so now if you change the direction, of course, it's changing the will, it's changing the choice, and this is of course a part of the belief system. Now, when we manifest, it is called co-creation. Means somebody else is involved, which means it's really the universe has something to do with it. So it's like I'm throwing a ball up against a wall, and the reaction of the ball, the universe, has something to do with it. And since this has something to do with it, this is where we have issues of timing. And timing is everything, because timing is a dimension. And since space and time are literally one and the same, right? This was produced in relativity theory. Time being one and the same has a dimension. And what is the dimension of time? Deeper discussion now. What is the dimension of time? It's circular. What is space? Circular. Get it? So if time and space is circular and all dimensions are circular, why is it that we always think ourselves in linear time? Isn't that sort of absurd? Well, because we pretend it's linear. We've set our society and our belief systems that, oh, in this little aquarium that we've created, our perspective, which isn't the real perspective, because real perspective of time is circular. Real dimensions is circular. Yet we think of terms of squares. Everything has walls and squares. In reality, there is no such thing. In reality, everything's circular. Same thing with time. But we keep on pretending it to be that. And this is where we get frustrated. And this is where people have frustrations. And this is where the disengagement from the truth, when we live in an illusion of the reality, which is based upon a limited perception. And this is where we have issues. Now, since we are simply energy, and our perception is subject to the limitation of our frequency. This limitation is where we produce our illusion or assumed reality. You see, in you may have heard there's a terms they call there's truth and then there's reality. So I'm going to use the word reality in this case for now in this foreground. Usually when you say reality is the real things, how things are real. But right now I'm going to use the word reality in the form of your perception. And truth being the absolute reality. It's like beyond even what I can perceive or anybody, any of our eyes. It's the real infinite understanding. Okay? So when we simply perceive things, since that's all we do, we're subjected to our limitation. The universe, in truth, is infinite. In our perception, our reality, it is limited. Our eyes are limited. Our ears are limited. Our senses are limited. They're limited based upon the ability for it able to absorb the information. And even the information that we have coming to us, even like for our eyes, actually receive actually thousands upon thousands upon thousands of clicks per second. Because of our even our low frequency, we're only able to get approximately around 30 some odd clicks per second. You know, like when I say clicks, you're looking at clicks per, like if you had a movie and you saw the little pictures, those are like clicks. How many of those frames make a second? And that's what you're seeing. And the human ability at this time, our limited frequency at this time, that around, I guess, around 30. If you're really like a genius, where you're able to absorb a lot of things, it would be 50. If you're like shamanistic, it might be up to 100. I don't think even a Buddha has even got up to past 150 to 200. That's where our limitation is. Yet there's billions upon information coming in. So that's the reality. Universe in the reality of our perception is limited, but to the truth of it, it is infinite. So think of that in our perception of what time is and what we want and desire or will for. So this is where we have the frustration of our timing. The universe is circular. Circle is the infinite. That's the truth. The square is perception. There's a probably famous understanding of, I don't know if you've ever seen, there's a Chinese coin where it's circular and then there's a square in the center of it. Well, it comes from a Taoist perspective of understanding of things. And what it's referring to is that the world is absolutely perfect. It's circular. Soul is spirit is circular, and the square shows limitation. And the square is inside as opposed to being outside. And often we use our perception of a square to adapt to things in the universe, and that's where we have problems. It's like, could you imagine a square wheel moving around? It wouldn't work too well. And if we worked off the circle, which is the truth, then we would be able to understand the universe a lot better. When we utilize that circular way of thinking, that's the reality. In fact, they have a symbol, like I'll draw a circle, that means the universe. And then if you saw the circle, and then there's like a little separation in between, right and left, right? And that's you'll see the yin and yang. And that's from the I Ching, where I call it symbiotic relation as opposed to duality. But that's because we have that perception. And that's like the lower world. So in Kabbalism, they call it the Asiya and the Yetzirah, which are the areas of what would be I Ching. It's what we see, the separations. Anyway, but they all, esoterics, they look at things, whether I don't care if it's Kabbalism or Taoism, everything is circular. That is the truth. And the square is the personality of the perceptions. And this is where I think what Buddha was trying to imply, that it's our perceptions, which are limited, that are producing our desires will become so. So I would say they were like the root of evil, but they can be. So if our perceptions are limited, and based upon our limited perceptions, we can produce a finite initiations of things. That's where the negative karma would come about. So like if you're born with eyes and mouth and thus, it could produce innate karma events, because out of karma produces the desires, because it's out of our perceptions that we think. And out of those limited perceptions is based upon our limiting thoughts is equaling our ego as opposed to our true self. And our true self is unlimited. And that's where the circle is. So it's like there is no, the circle by itself is the truth, and there's no limitation. Anyway, that point, by the way, you'll probably see, also has a reference to I Ching too, which you'll see, the separation, they'll use the coin of the square inside and the circle, and that's used. You'll see people throw coin, that kind of coin for I Ching, is because of that. But it's very symbolic having that square within it. It's like the old saying, most people actually live their lives as if the person happens to have a spirit or so, but in truth, the spirit just happens to have a personality. And that's when we come to terms with that, that's when we change and have a greater understanding of our universe. And we are actually living more closer to our true selves, or heading in the direction of our true selves, when we live where the spirit just happens to have a personality. And it's good that we have a personality, because the personality gives us our uniqueness. It's not something negative. It just gives us our unique eyes, and it gives us our opportunity to experience, and it creates the limitation. And by having that limitation, it produces another extraordinary situation. I mean, there's a, Bashar that said that the humans, their mass is a limitation. But in the universe, we're being, in fact, observed, because our souls chose to be placed in a very unique, unusual, universal experiment to go through a volunteering ourselves, and this is, by the way, a millennium, into us being assumption of this limitational form or finite, in separation and coming back to reality and the truth of understanding the finite, being the truth of it, not the limitation, which is our assumed reality, and our illusion, which is actually the evil, if you want to call it that, is where we have the opportunity to grow. If you didn't have put into a limited form, then you would not know what it is. You wouldn't search for the infinite. You would assume it. You're already there. So by having these limited forms gave us the greater capacity to develop ourselves. It's like you have sort of like a limit. It's like if you didn't have a set of weights, how would you be able to strengthen yourself? So this, I understand this limited situations helps our soul increase in a different aspect. If a soul didn't have this limitation in some instances, it'd be for what it is, it wouldn't have the opportunity to grow or get a greater understanding of things. And we're simply here to heal and grow. I mean, what is it? It's the opportunity to experience. It's our opportunity to do this. So we come here in the opportunity to come, we are soon, we're all separated to, but in reality, that's our assumption. But in truth, we're all really connected. It is also our opportunity, by the way, to experience the multiple lifetimes from all the karma, and to remove the karma and cultivate our garden and remove our karma while coming to our true self. That being our true self and true nature, and not lived by or within our altered ego. That is giving us the greater opportunity to grow. This is what some people say, extraterrestrials are watching us because they're evolved and we're us souls. We chose to go through this. So what is the false ego? False ego is false. The soul is true nature or true self. The false ego, alter ego, is me. The soul is we. The false alter ego is separation. The soul is unity. The false alter ego is blame. The soul, understanding. The false alter ego is hostility. The soul is friendliness. The false alter ego is resentment, but the soul is forgiveness. The false alter ego is false pride, while the soul is unconditional love. The false alter ego is complaining. The soul is so grateful, having reverence. The false alter ego is jealous. The soul is happiness, is simply being. The false alter ego is power seeking, seeking a power, stature. Soul, it's humbleness. The false alter ego lacks integrity. It makes promises and doesn't fall on their promises. It's timing. It doesn't walk the talk. It may wear the mask, but never does. It's the pretend, being pretentious, not for real. It's worrying about what others think. It's putting a facade instead of being real. I've always mentioned integrity is like the backbone of it, of spirituality. It's the soul. Having integrity is the backbone. It's being truthful and honorable and respectful. So, now you hopefully understand what I was elaborating onto. And so we have this issue of timing. And that's where we have to have patience. People say, oh, you got to have patience. It's going to come, it's going to come, it's done. And we can't wait, we can't wait, we can't wait. And that's our struggle with our alter ego or our personality struggles with. Because, see, the alter ego has the perception of time being linear. That's the illusion. And so it has, that's the issue of desiring something that wanted like yesterday. We're constantly putting out there we want things to happen, and we always tell we need to have patience. What happens with the patience is teaching us to giving us a greater capacity to let go, to trust, to go with the flow, to be in the moment. Even if you weren't doing anything, you are doing something. Even if it hasn't happened that day, it will happen. If it doesn't happen, then it's not meant to be. It's not meant to sit on your butt and not try it, or initiate it, or push it. But at times, at most, it's having patience. You can only go so far, and then you have to have patience, as I said. Patience is the timing. And this is in relation to what we put together, what we try to strive for. And this is where with timing, we look at timing being linear when it's circular. This is our frustration as a society because we've created our society of elements in linear time. This is why we get frustrated. This is where we get into things wanting to happen in our life because they're run on an illusion of an illusionary linear time. And because of that, it falls back where we don't have patience. And then we don't have patience because we're working on linear time. If we were not working on linear time, we wouldn't really care now, would we? Wouldn't worry about it. It would just happen. We'd just not just sit around, but we'd initiate it and just go along the flow and feel it. We'd have a different way of looking at it. This is like what they say is being There's no way to happiness. Happiness is a way. It's part of being patient, going with the flow, being on a surfboard and allowing the waves to take you to the beach. When you see a surfer on a surfboard and the wave of the universe is pushing him or her on that board, he isn't paddling. He starts on just the paddle to get on the wave, but once he's standing on that board, he allows the universe to carry him or her along the course. It may turn and bend, but it's the wave taking him or her to the beach. The wave takes you. It's the same way. Think about it. It's the wave of the universe taking you where you're heading to. That's the patience. That's enjoy the moment. Maybe a slow wave or a fast wave. Medium wave. That's the way it is. It's where the universe is taking you. You initiated. Remember what I was telling you, and then this goes back. I initiate the choice, the desire to get on the board, and I now initiate that standing on the board and try to stay on that board as a wave pushes me. I initiated the desire by paddling as fast as I can so I can be on that one particular wave. I chose that wave, and now that wave is taking me where it's supposed to be taking me. Of course, I couldn't swim against it. I would tumble and turn. And sometimes I may fall off that board, into the water, off in the wave, and I always will try to get back on the board. And maybe I get tumbled, turned around, trying to get on the wave, but I always come up for air. I always strive. And this has to do with the universe in you. We, not you and it. We, when I say we, it's also inclusive of the universe. We are one consciousness, they say, but we are also connected to each other and to the universe. When you think of these terms, our connection, then you think of things a little bit differently. Timing is sort of collective. All things are universal. When we think of ourselves separated and in linear time, creates what? A counter of how the universe works. When the earth moves around the sun, there are both countering forces, one pulling it closer to the sun and one pushing away from the sun. Same thing with the moon. And they're all connected. They're all in its perfect timing. It moves around at its perfect timing. Everything has its special timing. And it's all curved. The timing is the reality, or rather truth, of what it is. You, me, this is where it comes what we talk of the child within. Think about what that means. They say that in these lower worlds, they call the Asiya and the Bira, and then Yitzhara, and then if you go on the Bira, and once you go into Atzilut, before you go to Atzilut, they say it's the Cherubim. We're talking about Kabbalism. The Cherubim are the little baby angels. And they say that before you get in the heavens, probably red and Bible, blah, blah, blah. It's almost like there's little baby angels that are around the heavens, right? Well, there's a reason. It's being metaphoric. It's talking about the child within, you probably have heard. And there's a reason why it's sort of telling you a clue. All these are metaphoric clues of understandings of how the universe works and what's establishing. It is that we become a child within our own heart. What's that mean? To be innocent, to be at one, to be what? To go with the flow. What's a child? Child lives in the moment. Get it? Child. Watch a child when he plays. A child is in the moment of time. A child does not think of what is happening tomorrow or what happened in the past. It's living in the moment when it's playing. That is the child. That is the child. That is where we're supposed to be going, be in the moment of things. You see, in reality, we learn from our karma, our things in the past, and we have a direction we're going, but we need to be as a child in the moment of things. Be in the moment. When you're in the moment, time, our linear time seems to go by. Like, gee, I've moved here, I live in Los Angeles, and I moved here about 3 years ago. Seems like it's gone by fast. Well, then I look back and maybe, because I've been in the moment that long, me personally, I felt like I've changed a lot in the last 3 years, hopefully in a positive aspect. That's what I think, hopefully. And I think it's because of that. You know, when you're with somebody and you lose track of time, you're like, God, da da da, because you're within the moment. That's the truth. When you lose, you're not thinking about the linear time, and now it's a circular time. That's being in the moment. You are now within the reality, the truth of truisms. When you're playing an instrument or music or art, and suddenly you feel like you've only been doing it for like maybe 15 minutes, and it's actually a couple hours. Time, child within. When you go out of body, when I go out of body a lot, which I haven't in a lot, you go out and you'll feel like you're, like I've gone out and I feel like, oh my God, it's been like 5-6 hours if I think about it. It feels like it sometimes. I've been playing, let alone I come back and it's only maybe 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half an hour. It seemed like I thought time went by, and then it did. And it ends up being in reverse, actually. Because while you're out, you're really connected, and you're doing so many things, and blah, blah, blah. And you realize, in reality, that what time is. And then when you come back, it's only been 15 minutes. Well, but all these events have occurred, and it's the reverse. See, in this body, when we're in our child within us, it's the moment of time that goes by. It seems to go by fast. When you're out of body, it's the reverse. That's why some people call it, when you're out of body, which I'm going to get into next week, it's called the antimatter. You're on the other side. Everything's flip-flop. Because then our perception of time is a reality, which is multidimensional, and space is all of a sudden one-dimensional. So think about that. So think about that. When you think of timing and all that I said, and I know this sounds sort of abstract to some things, that's what I try to do is as easy as I can to explain it without getting so philosophical. I know that some have looked at how way we live our lives and how we live our perception of things and what our desires are and what our manifestations are. We often look at those in our own limited square personalities as opposed to what they really are, which is the circle. The way things work for all you out there, and this is where the problem again with psychology and some of our sciences, is this is how it works. Spirit is on the top, which leads into your mental, which leads into your physical. It's not the other way around. So you cannot fix your spirit by your mental. You cannot fix your physical without fixing first your spiritual. The spiritual is what affects everything down the line. You always have desires in situations. So it's what you choose to desire is to fix it. You can't fix the desire itself. They're, oh, I gotta have this, or I have to have this, I have to have ice cream, or I have to have, a drink if somebody's drinking. How do you fix that? You fix it by from their spiritual side. You're never gonna be able to fix it consistently through just the mental. You'll put up, how that's when people they're addicts and they come back again, and they come back. The only way to fix it is fixing from the spiritual side. And what is the spiritual side? It's really simple. don't know why everybody. I mean, I talk to psychologists, and it amazes me. It is so simple. We are nothing but energy with a frequency that vibrates. Either your frequency increases, that's your soul increasing, or it becomes lessened. If you increase it or strive to increase it, it affects your mental, it affects your physical. If you're going to drink and take drugs, it lowers your frequency. If you choose to go to negative desires as opposed to positive desires, guess what? It lowers or increases depending what you choose your desire. And that choice becomes out of your frequency. If you have a higher frequency, you are not going to want to choose. You're going to feel, I don't want to go down there. Get it? You'll be with people. This is where the people you meet. You'll have problems when lower, when higher. Do you want to be around the negative people or the positive people? Or can you handle, if you're higher frequency, can I handle being around them? If you really are a higher frequency, you feel it, can you deal with people who are lower frequency? You should be able to. Or you have like both feet on two sides of the fences, and that's why you feel uncomfortable being around negative people, because you may have part of one foot in that negativity that's fearing it. You have a fear of it. You don't have a fear. Fear is an illusion. I don't want to get into that. That's a whole other thing. But do you see how simple it is? It's all extremely, extremely simple. So I want to close with, before I close, this one thing I wrote. It's something I recently wrote in a prose, but I just feel it's very much applicable to for today. It deals with reverence, and it was something I wrote. Lately I've had prose just flowing through my brain. Maybe it's from a past life thing. Well, I know what past life it is, but we won't talk, will we? Anyway, it's called Oh the Praise. Oh the praise, reverence upon the valleys, from the harps of the past, the oil olives with the vines of the ravine, thinking and thinking in midstream. Prayers of the ancient metal, songs of mysteries dwelling within the heart. The eagle circling my mind from above, fires of the sea glowing of deep ambers, cascading the divine from soothing waters. Oh, the praise! Yet knowing the flies swarming like assumptions of flaw of lies, scribes of deception within the deep blue sky, blurring the soul with eyes of flowering fear and the fragrance of swamps, being the separation, walking upon marble, clothed in linen, all knowing the order of this misguided manipulation. Duality being the assumption of many, rocks grinding while ice is cracking. The light of understanding shining, the symbiosis, the reality. The cherubs singing in harmony like the clouds in the blue sky. Oceans and rivers connecting hearts of lands like souls of mankind. Yet the eyes of desire smothering the truth of everlasting tree. Separation being the lie as the soul's leap withers from the chains. The yells, the cries, the disillusions as the pendulum of karma swings. Oh, the praise, the name being many, the stars while gazing are so beyond. The real essence of the universe is none. Be thy name of names, utterance of many, reaching for the very true essence, only never understanding the very presence. Oh, the praise, the mutter and the whirl of delusion, as food being to the fish, yesterday, tomorrow, tomorrow, what will be. Now you are truly not free, yet all in the sun always rises over the aquarium, while the awareness simply being the key. The cups, the swords, the fools of thought, choices and will never the determine, the magic of the shuffling cards of illusion, interpretation being a game of confusion. Oh, the praise, the free will, the choosing of choice, humanity's free will, the paths, the winding roads being of choice of numbers, the souls of endeavors, the journeys yet one encumbers, the rushing wind, the scratching of chalk. the screeching of tires and the dripping of water, the lurid fears being of the unknown, as the universe smiles with laughter like a clown. Oh, the praise, listening to the voice of the sea, the ways of simplicity yet so many. Minds are unlimited beyond the epiphany. Open my eyes, I close my heart, listening with my ears, I close my heart. Touching with my hands, I distance my soul, seeing beyond my eyes, hearing beyond my heart, touching beyond my hands, fall, fall. I am all, I am all, I am all. Oh, the praise, hear, O thee, for I am you, you are thee. We are them, them are you, all are all is none, and none never to be a wall, none being the all. Oh, the praise. And with that, I want to thank everybody for listening, and I'm going to close with a little bit of Heart of Gold. And this is Neil Young, one of my favorite songs. Sort of like reminds me of somebody back in 72. Thank you, and God bless you, and have a glorious, glorious weekend. Thank you. Thank you, and God bless you all, and have a glorious, glorious weekend.